PFT Media.
That's right, baby! The Devils in the Details are back! Energized with energy drinks, coffee, lithium, whatever it is. It doesn't matter.
A little opium.
A little opium then. Yeah. Dan Rocco's with us. Bring in the magic, Freddy!
Hello, hello.
Here we are! We're the princes of the universe! Here we belong! Fighting for survival! We've got to be!
Coming to you live.
Surviving longer than any U.S. cabinet position.
Oh, we are on the street, baby. We're the longest thing that's been in the Trump administration so far.
We've lasted longer than anyone.
Broadcasting you live from the Copper Rocket Studios. Brought to you by Orange Blossom Pilsner.
Yeah!
Ding, 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 ding. Yo, I just came fresh from a workout.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Congratulations. Is that what you were expecting?
I don't know what's going on there.
I really wanted to treat myself to a public sub.
Right.
And I love you guys very much.
It would have put us behind schedule.
It would have definitely would. And we're trying to catch up.
Yeah.
Thanks to that whole Middle Eastern conflict.
Everything gets lost in the desert out
there. Yeah. It just went into the abyss. Yeah. The greatest episode you'll never hear.
Right.
So enjoy the other ones we have so far. Dan Perella, Pedro Lima, super producer Chris Crespo with us. In studio guest from the Magician Cave, because I haven't seen this dude in like
been
a year
long
and a half.
Time.
Yeah,
wow, wow.
Yeah. My good friend Darren Rockwell.
Hey, it's so good to be here. Hey, oh, no, thank you.
And he came
thank
with you. Security. He bought his buddy Chris.
Right.
But they didn't give us a heads up, so we don't even have like a jack or anything like that, so you can't even hear the music in the background. But just imagine it. It's going to be all good.
Yeah, he didn't hear the Freddy. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's the most important part of the show.
That's it.
So how you been, brother?
I'm good, man. Yeah? I'm good. It's good to see you. It's crazy. It's like not a day has passed, but you look and you go, it's been a year, 2 years.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. You know, it's fun to... I come out of my cave every once
yeah,
in a while.
Yeah, you've been busy. And I was telling the guys here, I said, I got a guest. I got a magician, novice filmmaker, / documentarian, yeah. And cannabis consumer.
No, you put something else.
Did I? Mm-hmm. You mean, no, I think those were the three things.
Those were, no, but you said cannabis, something else.
Cannabis?
Something better.
Consumer of cannabis.
More credit than just consumer.
Connoisseur? Yeah, connoisseur is a good
did
one.
Did I say connoisseur? I doubt it. I must admit.
No, you just phrased it differently. Novice filmmaker / documentarian, consumer of cannabis.
Oh, consumer of
cannabis. That's how I come up with all the documentaries and magic.
Yeah.
it's fun.
But here's the thing. You focus in one thing, and this is the one thing I like about you, is that you have this laser thing that you just, you see something and you just go after it. Regardless of budget.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. That's something I've been doing since I was a kid. I've always, as soon as I get an idea in my head, I was like, okay, what's going to stop me? Okay, this, I'll figure it out. But usually I try to have at least two projects going on, because then when one's really stressing you out,
right,
you can work on the other one that you love. And it's a nice balance. So
yeah. You've always done it that way?
I was 4 years old. I wanted to be a trash man. Like just... hanging off the back of a truck and just hanging. My dad took me to the town hall, had me fill out an application to be an actual trash man. And
shut up.
At four cool. years old,
at what age?
Four.
At four. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I think every kid always thought that being the trash guy was a cool job, right?
Yeah.
Because you get to press the machine, you get to see the
crunch
whole
thing. It. And
crunch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there a job when you were young that you were like, oh, I want this?
Throwing the barrels alone was the coolest thing. You
the
get
barrels?
To throw
like
the
barrels.
Yeah. You get barrels. To toss them. That was, are you kidding? That's the greatest. Yeah, is that a northern thing? Barrels. What do they call them down here? Trash cans?
Trash cans.
Barrels.
Did they call them barrels up north?
Nah, I've never heard of barrels.
Might be a Massachusetts, New Hampshire thing.
Maybe.
Barrels.
The only person I barrels. Know that throws barrels is Donkey Kong. That's the only person, or unless you lived in the Wild West. It's the only time the barrels. Really? You got to say barrels.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But yeah, that's always started. I've been 37 years old and I feel 37. I don't feel 38 and I don't feel 36.
You're 37 for real?
Yeah.
Man, I look better than you.
You.
I'm in my 40s and I'm like, damn, I feel so much better now.
God. Oh, you've been working out. You had this
in
a while.
Hold on. Let me show off my. Let me show off the guns like Angel Rivera calls it.
Filled with beans.
Sorry, I apologize for
cursing. It's good, man, though. You were trying to get healthy years ago.
I'm trying to keep my legs, Darren. That's the mission.
Yeah. Is it? All 10 fingers?
I don't want no diabetes or anything like that.
Well, your wife kicked your ass and she kind of got you into that, right?
It's whenever we spend money and you commit into something, yeah. And you know that money's going to be taken out monthly.
So it's either LA Fitness or Modelo's. It's like those are the two budgets. Yeah, you can either pick one or the other.
But no, LA Fitness, it's I'm not self-motivating. That's the thing. Mm. I go to this hardcore thing where you have actual trainers and for an hour they're kicking your butt.
That's good.
It's the only way I could do it. Yeah. I tried doing LA Fitness with our buddy Dave early in the morning, but that guy's a monster. I just can't.
Yeah. He's like that guy just doing like the
really,
crazy
He's the
reps.
Type of guy that enjoys being quietly in a corner just lifting weights by himself.
And ridiculous amount of weights.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like you see him and he looks like this pudgy kind of thing, but that dude is strong as hell.
He's French-Canadian.
Dad strength, right?
Yeah.
He's got that
strength. Dad strength.
Yeah, yeah. With no kids, but dad.
No,
yeah. But dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
like,
the Québécois.
Québécois.
That Québécois lift, man. Those French Canadians.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they just curl mooses and stuff.
And that's all he does. I think he deadlifts something like 400-something pounds. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Am I having something? Oh, that's my phone. Right. So what's been going on with you, Dan? You excited for this PFT media
the shindig? I'm can't wait to meet all these people who we promote and who I've totally listened to. I really got to get better on the ball supporting our brothers. I'm so bad at this. but, you know, I can't wait to see everyone.
I'll be honest. I know there's going to be name tags in this thing.
Yeah, please say there.
Because I only know Etchy. I can spot
I know
Etchy.
Big Tim.
I know Big Tim.
Tim's easy to spot.
I know Ryan and I know Charlie Bowie because they're comics.
And so. they're not going to make it because Ryan has a gig he's hosting. And Charlie is in
out of town.
Japan.
Oh. Is he in Japan?
Yeah, he's in Japan.
All right.
But Tim will be there for representing Poking the Bear. Peter Von Saborsky, he'll be the bald guy. He's very
Simon
cool
probably has some trivia place.
Simon's going
to
be there for the first half of the party, and he'll be doing live trivia, and then we'll be giving away prizes, like whole prize packs.
Oh,
all
right.
We should wear red so people know we're the devils.
There you go.
Oh, Bring it in, buddy.
Theme it out. Yeah, so there should be someone from almost every show there. And
right.
Just ask me. Just pull me aside. Who's who? Now I'll point everyone.
Hey, who's that guy that said hi to me?
Exactly.
He enjoys the show. I have no idea.
Who's the guy who quartered me for half an hour?
Oh, that's a man. That's a Scotch guy.
Scotch guy. Yeah, yeah. You'd be the Scotch guy. Scotch guy's a nice guy.
I want to meet the Scotch guy.
Which one's Lady Redastic? What's the guy's
not going to be there.
No,
Lady Redastic does not do live appearances.
No.
Ooh.
No, infamously camera shy.
That's fair.
You should have. You should have.
Sort of a.
You should have just said yes. She will be there.
I don't. No, I'm not gonna know.
And then just say
we do have things
happened.
To sell. There's gonna be live music, trivia, dollar off OBP drinks for the whole party from 5 to 9.
I want the Scotch guy to recommend us Scotch. I mean, that's kind of what he does, right?
Yeah,
that's
he better. Great. But he better have some good Scotch knowledge.
He'll have one or two to.
Cool.
Is he recommend. Bringing scotches?
I don't know.
Are
you allowed to bring?
I feel like we need to bring something from our show.
We're bringing history. We're bringing history book.
Oh, there we go.
What's the fuss? Yeah, they're bringing, bring a history book. What's the fuss? They're bringing, like, what's the fuss koozies and stuff, you know?
Yeah. We don't have no merch.
Well, we got to get this.
You don't have merch, yeah. You guys just got to show up. Your merch is your knowledge. Dan, you show up and just start teaching people stuff.
Yo. They sell those little pitchforks, right?
Right.
Darren, you busy Saturday?
I don't know. Maybe. Well, I missed what? Where is this happening and what's going on?
So it's at the Copper Rocket Saturday, from
5 to 9 p.m.
5 to 9. It's the PFT Media, which is the network that we're in.
And it's our first party.
And it's our first party, and all the shows that we have here in the network,
Beautiful
PFT network, gets together. And it's pretty much like a listener appreciation kind of thing. Meet us, talk to us, feedback, whatever.
That's great.
Air your grievances.
Do people bring gifts? Do they bring myrrh and silver?
They can if they want,
but actually,
we're not going to deny it.
I would love some frankincense.
Yeah.
That would be cool. They are receiving stuff. We'll be these magnets. People will get a magnet as well as a whole bunch of other giveaways.
I'm selling my magnets.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So whatever magnets I have, I'll trade it for myrrh. Whatever myrrh is. What is myrrh?
It's an incense.
It's an incense?
No. Myrrh is an embalming agent.
Frankincense is the incense.
Myrrh is,
they gave baby Jesus an embalming agent.
Basically, yeah. Something for embalmment later
on. Was this like a science? Like, was this like the first science kit kind
of
thing?
No, it was basically kind of a, hey, we got you covered when you die.
Junior's first embalming kit.
If you put myrrh and silver together, it's like that volcano.
Which I don't think he used.
Right?
It's Jesus' first magic trick.
Which they never mentioned he uses afterwards. Okay. You know, kind of essential. I'm reading the end, you know, and I'm getting off the cross. I'm like, do they use the myrrh?
Do you think
did they stop? Pavlov's gun?
Let me ask you this, history guy.
Chekhov's gun.
Did they stop at a gift shop and kind of like...
Don't associate history with the Bible ever again. No? we could do an entire show on just one book.
There has to be a history event that's similar to...
There are many historical events that kind of go with it, but... Kind of not like
okay.
You're talking of there's a lot of stuff. There's multiple floods mentioned in multiple religious texts.
Okay,
so we are sure that there was definitely some sort of flooding event.
But there's a flood in Houston last year,
right?
So
we're talking. There was definitely some swelling of the Nile or the Red Sea, et cetera, at one point. Because it's mentioned in multiple religious texts. So they do get the certain things right.
Wasn't it like 2,000 years even before Christ, there was some other guy who had 12 disciples who was crucified on a cross? Well,
12 in general is a magical number.
Is that what it is? ODB.
You get 12 in general is a magical number. 12 gods on Olympus, 12...
monkeys on a branch.
12 monkeys on a branch, right? You know,
12 monkeys.
Yeah, 12 monkeys. Exactly, the movie. With Bruce
Willis. Hey, Terry Gilliam.
Yeah.
Hashtag me too.
Welcome to the chamber, buddy. Ellen Barkin just threw him down.
I'm not surprised.
No, really?
No, I'm not that surprised. I mean, you look at a lot of his films. Are you surprised at all?
No, I mean, actually, nothing. Tom Hanks is the only one who would surprise me now at this point. Right. You know, Terry Gilliam always has a...
I thought Tideland was a confessional.
You lost?
Tideland was. Yes. Interesting movie, Tideland.
Tideland was a confessional.
So everybody's being thrown down the barrel for being inappropriate towards females in Hollywood and anything like that from... You know, it caught me by surprise, Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
Who else went in there? The Affleck brother.
Yeah.
Poor James Franco.
Wasn't Louis C.K. in there?
Louis C.K.
Well, yeah. He was one of the first, though. Isn't this whole Katy Perry? Like, there's something I saw with Katy Perry today. Yeah, so you knew
Steven
I was going
to. Steven Perry?
Steven Seagal.
No, Steven Perry's fine.
No, Steven Seagal.
Oh, Steven Seagal.
Yeah, he's... God, some gross things have been circling around him for a while.
Good thing he brought up the Katy Perry.
Okay.
Because if it was Lionel Richie that kissed a girl that was saving her first kiss to be in a relationship, Lionel Richie would be fired, banished from Hollywood.
Right.
Yeah. But since it was Katy Perry.
Oh, that's cute, though.
It's cute. It's, you know, she's adorable. Got a nice rack.
Right.
Let's keep her. And so no damage. So it's kind of like... It's very hypocritical.
Yeah.
That we're going to... And I get it. I'm saying guys are assholes when it comes to that. But dude, if you want this whole equality kind of thing, you do have to hit hard on both sides.
Yes.
And it's not even...
But the equality has to get there first, though. If you want it to be equal... You know, I know it's weird. It's tricky.
So for the time being,
it's not.
She gets a pass.
No, I'm not saying she gets a pass, but I'm saying it's a symptom of the overall problem of the culture is what leads to that kind of double standard where it's like two chicks kissing, two dudes kissing, get out of here, that type of thing.
Yeah. Well, I will say,
sexualizing women.
I've met Lionel Richie. I would kiss him. He is a beautiful man. He looks like he's Photoshopped in real life. Nan's dad.
And that's without him singing. Once he starts singing,
it's over. Hello? But no, it's a pendulum.
He's like Sunday morning.
You've got everyone, so much media and so much attention that it's like a pendulum. It's got to swing to the extremes before it finds the center.
Yes.
So you've got to look at both of these sides. I think talking about it is a wonderful thing to be able to do. Don't judge. Just listen and be able to take everything in individually. Mm-hmm. I think we're lumping everything in, going, "Oh, well, look what she did, look what he did, look what they." That's never gonna center.
So, but it's the generation we got our opinions now that we just get to throw out with no consequence. Just spew. I need to come with the hottest take.
Well, that's been going on for a while, trying since to get the Twitter, best ratings. I mean,
but now it's just that it's more because of social media. Yeah. It's amplified what we've been doing for a while.
Well, to me, I'm probably one of the biggest skeptics, too, because it's like I know how easy it is to fool ourselves. Mm. That's the really cool thing about magic is you see it happen in someone's eyes. Mm. You'll do something for them, and they will turn to their friend instantly and exaggerate it by about 15 times what they actually saw.
Let me ask you this. When you do magic tricks, because I've seen... You do magic tricks, and I've seen you get drunk and do magic tricks, and you fumble it, and I kind of figure out the trick. I know one trick that he does.
Thank you. Is that a compliment?
It's for the longest time, it's like, yo, that's the dope-ass trick. Then he gets drunk, and he gets sloppy, and it's like, oh, why didn't I see that?
But it's even if sloppy to you because you've seen it before, they say once is magic, twice is education. So the second time you see something, you're going to know what to look for. So drinking, I mean, again, you should be able to go on autopilot. You've been drunk on stage, but it's still, you know, you read the crowd.
Yeah, I'm not proud of that.
Yeah.
none of my drunk performances have ever been. Like, Lisa hates the one drunk time that I got extremely drunk, and I don't remember the last 50 minutes of the set, but apparently I did great, and Lisa does the impression. Next time we have Lisa here.
Yeah.
Ask her about my meet and greet when I was drunk. No. I was like passed out. People are saying, "Hey, good show," and I'm like
sleeping.
Like Weekend at Bernie's kind of
just
thing.
Get me back to the Holiday Inn. I just want to go.
But my question to you was: is there a trick that you do that you're like, I can't believe they just ate this up? One trick that is like, oh my god, I can't?
There's a few, because usually the simplest answer is usually the right one. So if I were to do the most amazing trick you've ever seen before, and it's taken me, you know, the nice thing with a juggler practices 10 years to show off their skill. Right. A magician practices 10 years to hide it. That's the difference. So you don't know the difference between a self-working magic trick, something someone buys at a store, and something someone spent 7 years in their room practicing over and over. So just depending on the trick, but when people look at something, like the perfect example is David Blaine's levitation. Mm-hmm. Like when Blaine first came out and he was doing the levitation on TV, people freaked out. They went nuts. And when you really know how that trick is done, you go, my God, that's so simple. But the easiest people to fool are the intelligent ones. Doctors, lawyers, they can't figure this shit out. Kids are like, it's in your other hand. And you go, how do you know that, mother? They just know. Yeah. They're not programmed. So adults are a lot easier to fool and go, wow.
So do you hate doing kid shows?
I will not. I refuse. You wouldn't? I stopped doing kid shows years ago. You pay your dues, but that is the toughest. There are people that are geared to do kids shows, because for me, I get up there, I'm like, all right, who likes card tricks? And they're already screaming, you know, take a rabbit out of the hat. I'm like, I don't even have a hat. They just start screaming at you. So no, that's not my...
Did you ever try to be complacent and bring a rabbit?
I got a dove. I think I got a dove.
Did you kill it like
with the first night?
That movie? Put,
what?
Oh, the Illusionist or the Prestige? Yeah, where it dies in. No, I got one when I was 12 or 13. I saw a really cool video of, you know, this guy making doves appear. So I convinced my mom.
Prince.
Yeah, that's yeah. And
which we're gonna have the guy do Purple Rain.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
We're
AJ.
Gonna tip him. Get ready because you're singing that.
A hologram of Prince doing magic tricks. Now that would be awesome. I would see that.
I'd pay for that.
Yeah.
Oof.
But no, I think when you're doing magic for people, they expect nowadays people don't think you're a wizard or a sorcerer. I tell people look, I'm not going to do balloon animals for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be able to just tell you. Rather than me fooling you, let me tell you what I'm doing. Because then you get them on their side. It's like a good comic gets the audience on their side and either takes them places they feel uncomfortable with or everything. A good magician's the same thing. Like, there's a lot of shitty magicians out there. a lot. And people don't know how to gauge it anymore because they don't know what's taken practice and what's something that they bought off the internet. So is that a long answer to the question?
No.
That's
good. Pretty good. Yeah. I'm trying to find a way to connect this kind of thing to the topic we got. But do you know the first magicians, other than
I actually don't have really. I never went into the history of magic or anything like that. I never studied it, so I couldn't tell you when it started to. Who was
like the first in Chicago?
When magic wasn't at the really Chicago Fair? No, it wasn't. It was way before the Chicago Fair. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, really?
I did. Yeah. There's evidence of, you know, stage magicians as early, you know, from the 17th century. So there was definitely way before the Chicago's World Fair. Okay. But as far as the early origins of it, I don't have that for you.
Okay.
A lot of it comes out of just, I mean, gypsies and scams and all these things that had turned, you know, magic into a profit making machine. And it's a lot like religion. You tell people what they want to hear. And
then give them a little smoke, a little bit of a show, and then like, hey, you're healed.
Yeah. I say this to people anytime because when they go, come on, it's real magic. I can't be that guy to go, yeah, it is, because it isn't. I don't like lying. I would much rather be.
But that's what you do. You're a professional liar.
I'm a professional hustler, but I'm an honest cheat. I'm an honest cheat. I tell you that I'm going to cheat you. I cannot stand psychics
that believe their own hype.
That they do. A lot of them. That's
happened
the scary
to my
thing.
Universal energy.
Yeah.
What?
But I don't know. Did you ever see, like, when was the first time you saw a magic trick?
Man, I would say that I can remember. I'm going back in the data bank.
Yeah.
So in elementary school, I guess they sent like a Ronald McDonald.
Usually the clown is the first magician.
Yeah.
And I hated clowns, so I always saw it from a distance. Kind of thing.
Mine was a clown magician as well at kindergarten.
But I was never into it. I never, like, something about, David Copperfield was cool seeing, but the first live show that I saw, I walked out.
Yeah.
Really?
It was at my, I know who the comic was because he also does comedy and he did this balloon trade kind of thing, the swallowing kind of the balloon. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, look, I don't want to watch this. And then I met you at an open mic, and you started, and then I got to see it up front, and I was like, yo, this is dope.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, and I always tell Darren this, the longest time that I've known Darren, I've never asked him, show me this trick.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How do you do this trick?
My girlfriend hates magic. Right? From the day one I met her, she's like, that's how I know at least she likes me, but right. I tend to gravitate around people that actually, my friends are the ones that aren't asking me to do magic. Or
Because I ask them to do magic, though.
Yeah, in certain situations, like, where it warrants it.
It's like, yo, Darren, I got a show in Miami. Let's go to Miami.
Right.
And then I'll hit it off with the general manager, and then,
yo. Oh, so you give him a job, though. That's what you do.
You
get
and don't remember.
20%.
Paid, yeah. Don't remember. It's like, yo, Pedro came with that magician guy.
That's different than being at a party and tossing them at the deck.
Yo, my buddy does magic. Hey,
let me tell you this real quick.
Come here for a second.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Yeah.
Hey, you're a comedian. Tell us a joke.
Darren's never done that. Darren's never been. Peter should come up. Here's a mic. Do 10 minutes. Oh,
but though, as a magician, you're almost like a voyeur looking into comedy, because getting up on stage without a prop is terrifying. I've tried it a few times. There's been times I'm like, all right, I'm a magician. I can get up there and do my shtick, but let me get up there without anything. And that is scarier than probably anything else, because you have nothing. I've seen magicians try to get up and do stand up, and it's so funny. I almost make bets with my friends. I give it 30 seconds till they take out a deck of cards, and they'll get up there. Hi guys, how's everyone doing? First, crickets. Hold on, you want to see a card trick? And then they're just in that mode. So
yeah.
Comedians are just so they have to really draw on their personalities. Mm-hmm. You got to be able, Pedro, from day one, man. I've seen Pedro probably over 100 times up on stage.
Ugh.
And each time,
is this what you want me to apologize? No.
It's one of those people that no matter how many times, it's like hearing a great Carlin record. No matter how many times you hear it, no matter how many times you hear a Mitch Hepburn joke, you still laugh. And that's why we're friends. We both see each other, and we're not comedians per se. You're a comedian, I'm a magician, but you know, it's like that dog and owl type.
Dog and owl. Yeah. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
that should be fun. So you mentioned gypsies.
There's gypsies.
And it's going to be a little bit about the topic today. What's the topic today, Daniel?
We're going to talk about the golden age of piracy.
Arr.
Yes.
You are a pirate.
Okay, so pirates come from where?
The world. Okay. All over.
Okay. Because we got the classic pirates.
Right. You got the ones that we're always used to. Okay, but piracy goes back as early as when we started having boats. There started to be pirates.
Okay,
so they're Roman pirates.
Columbus goes out. We have pirates already out there.
Already out there.
Well, Vikings. Aren't Vikings a form of pirates?
Kind of like that. You know, a little bit more on the raidy side. But essentially, we've had pirates as early as Phoenicia. Okay, far back.
Wait, hold on. You said Vikings are more in the raidy side.
I'm a little bit more raider as far, because they went on land and attacked and everything like that.
So we're talking about pirates that just went after boats.
Went after boats and stuff like that.
Okay.
As early as the Phoenician ships. Okay, so.
English? Mostly English?
No.
No.
Mostly Irish and Scottish, the one we were thinking.
Really?
Usually your pirates are your poorer people.
Okay.
Because they're criminals. This is what we are. You know, you don't see millionaires robbing banks. You see the poor.
You
don't see that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, exactly. You're never going to get, you know,
JP Morgan.
Yeah. You know, Steve Jobs is never going to jack you for your watch.
Well, he can't.
Right. So,
but Bezos will. Jeff Bezos will go after your wallet.
And they'll sell you another one.
Elon Musk will taser you and take it.
Taser you with a solar powered taser.
It's so silent. And energy efficient. Okay, so
they come from all over, though. I mean, you have African pirates, you have Indian pirates.
The classic Somali pirates.
You have the Somali pirates, of course.
But I want to, okay, let's work our way up to this piracy stuff.
Sure.
All right. So, what century are we starting off with
pirates? Okay, the pirates that we're used to.
Jolly Rancher with the skull and bones.
Right, the Jolly Roger, not the Jolly Rancher. Right, the Jolly Roger.
But those are the friendly pirates.
Very delicious.
A picture of a hard candy on the flag. Right. Like, oh, those are the good ones.
Yeah, right.
The golden age of piracy starts at around 1650 and goes to about 1725.
That's the golden age of piracy?
That's what they call the golden age of piracy. The most recorded pirate attacks in history swelled at this point.
What area are they heading up?
You're looking
at English Channel kind of deal?
You're looking at Southern Africa.
Really?
Western Africa.
Okay.
And the Caribbean. These are the big parts in the Carolinas as well. All the places where there's not much of a military presence from other nations, you're going to find pirates.
Okay.
Kind of a
Did Cortez have to deal with pirates?
Cortez had to deal with... Cortez didn't have to deal with pirates too much.
That's my homie, right? That's the one that burned the boats?
That's your boy. Cortez didn't have to, but the Spanish who took over after him, they have to start worrying about pirates, like Sir Francis Drake from England.
Okay.
So that's where you're going to get the Siege of Cadiz and all that stuff. And those were actually privateers, which we'll get into a little bit later today. So you're looking at I'm sorry, I lost a train of thought there. So for the most part, they all operate in different areas, and that's where you also get different names for them too.
Okay.
So the word buccaneer, that is reserved actually for all pirates of the Caribbean.
But okay,
right.
So if you're in the Caribbean, so it's like Latino. What is it? Latino and Hispanic,
right? So when we talk about
buccaneers,
buccaneer is you're the Caribbean, you're a buccaneer.
Okay.
If you're in the Mediterranean, active as Mediterranean, you're a corsair.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. And then if you're off of North Africa, you're known as a Barbary pirate.
Barbary
pirate. Come from the Berbers, from the Moorish regions there in North Africa, Morocco area. Okay. So there's other terms too, but the three ones that we associate with.
So who takes the pirate title?
They're all pirates.
They're all pirates.
But they're kind of like they're pirate territory. Yeah, exactly. Gotcha. Buccaneer and all that type of stuff.
Oh, sorry.
Is where you get it from there.
How did they actually commandeer ships? Like, was there?
Those are private boats. Most of them. A lot of them either owned or they just. A lot of them were mistreated naval men. And they mutinied against their officers and just took the boat.
Yeah.
So, or they were privately owned vessels that were being hired by governments who didn't want to spend the money on a real navy. And then when the war was over, the government was like, all right, war's over. We don't need you anymore. Go back to being simple people. And they were like, no, this is way too much fun. They just kept doing it now.
It's the pirate life right. for me. Exactly. The song was born.
Did you not understand the song?
Was there any Robin Hood of the sea? Was there like a pirate that was kind of, I mean, mostly when you think of pirates.
Jack Sparrow?
Other than Jack's.
We'll get to him in a little bit.
Yeah, was there any well-known pirate that actually...
Did good?
Yeah, did anything good?
No. No, I mean, they were thieves. They were just... Thieves and...
rapists?
Yes. just thieves, murderers, and rapists, I mean, for the most part. These were... I mean, we glorify them because there's something romantic about them being on a ship, but it's no difference than a guy carjacking you or someone drive-by, oh my God, doing a drive-by.
We can write a movie.
Right.
Carjackers. Give me pirates.
Give me your car.
Comes peg leg,
right?
It's just a Iraqi war vet just coming out with his metal leg, just carjacking.
The piracy had existed for years and years and years, but really it swelled after the 30 Years' War, and that's when all the nations of Europe were getting involved, and they were all hiring out people. And it ended in 1648. And then, surprisingly, Golden Age of Piracy picks up 2 years later because you had all these unemployed privateers.
Yeah. Nobody wants to hire us. All right, how are we going to pay this bill?
Right.
All right, let's get on the boat.
And they just kept going. And that's what it was. Most of them were, beforehand, privateers.
Okay.
And that was basically saying you could be a legal pirate for this government. So a good example was Sir Francis Drake from England.
So privateer is pretty much like what is it? Not hitman. What's the word that I'm looking for?
It's like Blackwater Security.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You are legally allowed to beat people up.
Mercenaries. Government. Yeah, mercenaries. Like hired mercenaries.
Exactly. Okay. Mercenaries of the seas. And you had a letter of marque, it was called. Mark with a Q-U-E. And it basically said, hey, this guy is our official privateer. Yeah. So if you catch him, you need to treat him like a prisoner of war. Not like a pirate, because if you caught without your letter of marque, they would just shoot you and throw you over the side, no trial, because you're a pirate. Like, okay. go F yourself. So that's what it was. But that letter of marque kept you safe. But when the war was over, they're like, all right, letter of marques don't work anymore. Go home. And a lot of them are like, no, let's keep risking it. We were making so much money. Let's keep going.
Is that kind of like what does she say in the movie Parley? Where all of a sudden you just say something and they can't take care of that. Was that mark kind of the same thing?
Kind of like the letter of mark, right. That Pirates of the Caribbean kind of borrowed pieces from pirate history.
You mean it's not real? Time. No.
the blooms are. Man. the monkey was real.
The monkey was real?
Oh, absolutely.
No, so, okay, so the Jolly Roger.
Jolly Roger, yes.
Okay.
Originally invented by Edward England was his name. That was his pirate name.
From England?
From England.
Okay.
And he's the original Skull and Crossbones.
Okay.
Okay. And each pirate, though, designed a different flag, so you knew which one it was. It was their calling card.
Okay.
But they all had some kind of death motif to it. Calico Jack is the one with the skull and the two swords that are crossed. Captain Avery, his skull is to the looking to the side.
Cross and Bones. Okay, Cross and Bones is Jolly Roger.
That's right? They're all called the Jolly Roger.
Okay.
But the original Jolly Roger is the Skull and Crossbones.
Who was that?
Edward England. England. Yeah.
Okay. England. And then the sword. There's the swords one.
Yeah.
That's the one that the Buccaneers have.
Calico. Okay. Not just yeah. And that's from Calico Jack Rackham. Who's
what a name,
Calico Jack Rackham.
Yeah, I know.
Rackham, is that the name used for like one of the bad guys in the Tintin, the Tauntaun universe, Adventures of Tintin? I think so.
Probably.
Yeah, that's where that name comes from.
Isn't that dinosaur that Luke Skywalker killed?
The Tauntaun.
That's correct. That's the one that all the Jedi sleep in the Star Wars movies. They sleep in Tintins. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I got off track.
Other flags.
There's
later.
Actually two types of pirate flags.
Okay.
There's the black one that we all know. And that's the one you want to see.
That's the one you want to see.
That's the one you want to see because that means we're going to take prisoners.
Which one?
There's a red one that they fly, which means everyone's going to die on this ship.
Oh!
You might as well jump off ship now. Yeah, this is,
we're not taking prisoners.
Wow.
Oh, no.
We're cleaning house.
Yeah.
That wasn't in the movies.
Right, yeah. So there are two different variations. The black one always means that we're going to take prisoners and ransom them off.
I know this might be, what's the most messed up way they would send someone to their death?
Very quickly as possible, actually. A lot of just cutting your throats and throwing you overboard. Okay. They didn't want to shoot you because that was a waste of ammunition. Yeah. But a lot of slitting throats and just throwing you overboard, or just throwing you overboard in general.
The plank, did they ever do the plank? Or
only
is that
one pirate ever actually did the plank.
Really?
Yes.
And it got, because stuck. Of that one pirate,
yeah.
Everybody thinks that there's a plank.
Every that took too much one. Time. They had to. You had to get in, take the stuff, kill people, and get out quickly because the navies were circling. You had to make your quick getaway.
Yeah.
So, you know, you took that much time to line everybody up, walk the plank. The British Navy's there. So you had to keep moving. And so that just took way too much time. But there was one pirate who had a taste for theatrics. His name was Major Steed Bonnet. He's another Englishman. Steed Bonnet.
A little extra.
Yeah, and he did the whole walking the plank thing. And he's the only one who actually did it, though.
Was he...
I don't know. It didn't say about that.
No?
No.
Just walk the runway. Just walk it. Strut it out.
You had to wear his outfits that he picked out for you.
Yeah, dude, because they have... Okay, because the wigs and all that.
The wigs and everything, yeah.
The bracelets like Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm. That was the common dress for a lot of people. We think of pirates like, oh, look at that. Everyone wore that back
then.
They
all have eye patches.
Everyone wore tri-corner hats. Eye patches, that was fairly common for people because of the shrapnel that was being flown around and stuff like that. A lot of people lost their eyes or limbs in those naval battles, sure. But most pirates retired after they lost a major limb. They didn't keep sailing with a hook hand.
Okay.
How many pirates were in an actual, like, what's the average boat? Was it be like 30, 50, 100?
I'd say about, it depended on the ship, usually. But between 30 to 100, depending on the size of the ship that you had.
Oh, wow.
Because you had, you know, you had snows, you had sloops, you had...
You got 100 guys with eye patches running at you with swords, damn.
Peg legs.
Ugh. Most of the time they retired after that. And the pirates actually had...
What would they retire to?
They got compensated for their lost limbs.
Really?
The pirates had a very, very equal opportunity, like benefits package.
They had better health insurance than we do.
Yeah, it really did. It really did.
Damn.
Better than most navies, better than most armies at the time, which is why a lot of guys from the navies would rebel and become pirates because it was a better life than being in the army.
And what kind of ships would they go after? Was there a particular ship that they would go after?
Slave ships.
Slave ships?
Yep, because they were slow moving because there were so many people on them.
Hmm.
And they were either going to... It was a win-win situation. They were either going to Africa for slaves, which means they had tons of gold to trade for.
Okay.
They were coming back from Africa, which they had tons of slaves that they could sell and make some money off of. They would recruit. That was the only like biracial place as well.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
on a pirate ship.
I wonder how those interviews went.
or the ships were coming from the Caribbean, loaded up with molasses and rum, which they could sell. So it was a win-win, and they were always slow-moving because they always packed them as tight as possible, and they were easy targets.
They didn't even really have to know. They just, anything on the ocean, they knew had something valuable on it, especially, whether it was coming or going, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. There's going to be some kind of cargo. If you hit a slave ship, that was the money ship.
How many sunken pirate ships?
So many.
Or just in the Bahamas, even. I know
there's a bunch that we still have. There's probably, I mean, they've estimated in Spanish gold alone, there's probably about... almost about 100 million in gold still unaccounted for down there.
Right? And that's a guess, huh?
And that's just a guess. Who knows how many jewels,
if I didn't hate the
art pieces.
If I didn't hate the ocean, I would be
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
It's actually terrifying.
It's so scary down there.
If it's not chlorinated, it's not for me.
Right?
Another world.
It stings you, man.
Aliens.
Yeah.
Oh. Now, when did the... Okay, so at its peak...
Right.
You said it was in that 20-year...
1650 to 1725.
When did it start? When did the pirates become kind of like, all right, this is starting to slow down a little
Spain
bit?
Spain and England and France and all the major nations finally got together and was like, all right, we've got to stop this.
Assemble the
They
the
started
Avengers.
Actually. They started raising taxes so they could start building a navy, and they started building more professional navies to go out and just start hunting them down. And it's, you know, there's no question who beats them. It's the only, you know, as scary as, you know, we think about modern times today. As scary as you want to make your scariest gang, you know, let's take a Blood or a Crip gang. When the U.S. tank division rolls down there, it doesn't matter how scary you look.
Yeah.
When the army comes, that's no question of what's going to happen there.
Okay.
And that's what happened. The pirates just got taken out because all they were just gangsters on boats.
Did they take them hostage? Did they arrest them, or did they just blow them out of the water?
The captains...
They
would arrest as many as they could because then they would hang them on the docks of their countries as a warning to everybody. This is what happens. And it was effective because the average life of a pirate, very short. Most active pirates, once they decided to break away and go their own, only had a lifespan of about 3 to 5 years before you got caught.
Oof.
3 to 5 years?
Only about 3 to 5 years.
Which one is the like the notorious pirates? What's their...
Two were known to retire.
Okay.
One was Admiral Morgan, Captain Morgan. Captain Morgan.
Yep.
And he retired as governor of Jamaica. So he was actually a privateer for England.
Uh-huh.
And then England said, okay, we're done with the wars. Stop being a pirate. We'll make you governor of Jamaica. And he decided to take that offer. And he became governor of Jamaica in the 1600s.
And then started his rum distillery. And
right. He died an alcoholic. And we now honor him by
drinking
more. Drinking more for him. Yes.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And the other one was Captain Henry Avery, who was known as the Pirate King. Because he actually had this whole little pirate kingdom in South Africa that he set up away from everyone. He just set it up a whole thing and nobody could touch him. He eventually disappeared. He went on another voyage and there was no trace of him, but he never got caught.
Okay.
But yeah, he had a whole pirate kingdom in South Africa.
So Barbossa, Jack Sparrow...
Barbossa and Jack Sparrow never existed. Blackbeard did exist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yellowbeard.
Jack Sparrow was based on Calico Jack.
Okay.
With the exception that Calico Jack was a little bit more cowardly than Jack Sparrow.
Really?
Yes.
More cowardly
than Jack Sparrow. Calico Jack is known, of course, for his brightly colored clothing. That's why he was called Calico Jack. But he was also famous for having two female pirates on his crew.
Okay.
And they were in disguise, named Mary Read and Anne Bonny. Mary Read and Anne Bonny, who...
They don't get the props that they deserve.
Not in common pirate lore, but if you look into them, they're fairly highly regarded pirates. When the English attacked Calico Jack's ship, they were the ones who were leading the pirates on board, fighting them off until eventually the English overtook them. They finally found Captain Jack hiding under his bed during the entire time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. And one of them was pregnant at the time, too. So he would rather let the pregnant women fight his battles as he hid under the bed.
Well, he didn't know. So they didn't have doctors.
It was his child.
Oh, was she showing?
Yeah.
She was 8 months pregnant. Right?
Go swing this sword. Yeah. And the take them out.
The British government was very nice. They waited.
Tuna swells you up.
When they were all captured, they waited for her to have the child before hanging her. So it was very nice.
Really? Oh, that's so nice.
Jeez.
You want to hold your baby before we hang you?
When did they, on the boats, they had, like, my girlfriend had a Hemingway cat.
Okay.
And Hemingways, I guess, were known to be on pirate ships because they're, like, double pod and they have incredible mm-hmm. balance.
Right.
But I guess they were used to keep the rats out of the, because I'm sure the conditions on the ship weren't.
Oh, deplorable.
Yeah.
Deplorable.
Where the hell did rats come from in these boats? If you're in the ocean, where did rats are coming from?
Well, you got to dock eventually. Yeah. When you go to dock, the rats run onto the wooden wooden boats because it's just a bunch. Because they know there's going to be a bunch of rotting food on there. They can smell it.
Okay.
And
they just go in there?
Yeah. And the damp conditions of the ship and everything are ideal for them.
You tie the ropes to the docks and they just run up the ropes.
Yep.
Just into the holes.
There you go. So that's, a lot of...
You saw Fievel.
So I was just going to say, Fievel. Fievel goes west or something.
Walking the plank, only one guy.
That's insane.
And also the flag was one guy.
That sold
the Jolly
story
Roger flag. The original one. The
original
skull
one
is
just
one
Edward
guy.
England's. Then others.
Black is good.
Black is good.
Red is bad.
Yes.
When did it turn into a Halloween costume?
Yes.
When did we start making pirates glorified? Yeah. Pretty soon, actually. It was during probably the Romantic Age. You look about a good 100 years after the golden age of piracy ends. Throckmorton and other writers back then
The shoe guy?
We're starting to write.
You were serious.
Yeah.
No. Not Doc Martin. Throckmorton.
Oh, okay.
Throckmorton.
I heard Doc Martin.
Not Doc Martin.
Okay.
Yeah, Throckmorton. And others would write these. By the 19th century, a lot of people had more leisure time, more educated groups. And we started to come out with the first, kind of Danielle Steele type of romance novels, and everyone was hearkening to a simpler time, and so they were like, oh, look at these devilish rogues from the past, and they started to make these heroic pirates with a heart of gold who
there was one
saved
the kindest heart,
the busty maiden and all that stuff, and it was the romance novels that
he
turned
talked
them into
to you
these,
while he raped right, you. Yeah.
Exactly. So they removed all that part of them, being smelly with gangrene, and brought in, pretty much Fabio in
Ooh,
a.
That's right. Gotcha. How many the diseases they had? Just
scurvy.
I mean, most of them were smart enough to.
What
keep
the hell is scurvy?
Lack of vitamin C.
That's what it is.
Yeah, so you got to go suck on a lime or a lemon,
right?
Hence,
that's why the English are called limeys.
Yeah. Wait, time out. What's scurvy though? Is that jaundice kind of deal?
What is
scurvy?
Lack
of vitamin
rot.
C. Okay, teeth rot.
And I don't remember the rest.
I'm sure it just
would. But a lime
cures
it.
Whatever your body needs for the vitamins.
You would suck on limes and lemons because of the vitamin C that they had, and they kept longer than any other citrus. Those.
Okay.
So that, people would have limes and lemons.
So, and since the British Navy had so many limes and then sucking on them, they'd call them limes.
Limes.
That's why they call them limes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. I had a friend that liked big women and he would call them scurvy. Sexy curvy. She's got scurvy.
That doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, but it doesn't seem warm. It seems mean.
Sexy curvy.
I get it.
Sexy curvy.
I like
it. I don't see it going over for some reason.
Only one pirate buried his treasure.
Only one?
Yeah, the other spent it.
that makes sense.
One guy.
The last check I write to bounce.
One guy runs the plank. Everybody runs it. That's what they do. One guy buries the treasure, and the only thing is like a pirate's treasure. Everybody got that treasure map.
Yep. That was Captain Kidd who used to bury his treasure.
Was there a treasure map? Were treasure maps real, or was that something?
That was something that Robert Louis Stevenson made up in Treasure Island.
Really?
Yeah, nobody. I mean, no, you wouldn't write it down.
Yo, dude, this show has destroyed a lot. I didn't. Honestly, I didn't know Coca-Cola made up Santa Claus. And Coca-Cola's made up Santa Claus, and now the treasure maps is
treasure
not
real. Made up by a novelist. Yeah.
Wow,
mm-hmm. Dude.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, I'm sure there were maps to like certain islands
I'm
and stuff.
I'm proud
as far
of
as
this
your...
podcast.
You know, there's one guy in the island that his only job is to just bury fake X marks the spot treasure right. maps. Right. He just goes around and buries it. So when you find it, you have your own adventure. Mm. That's, I guess, it's a romanticized of something that's absolutely horrible.
It is. It really is. It's, like I said, it's imagine 100 years from now, and you hear about this, this woman who was whisked away in a car by by a rough and rugged gangbanger, whose treasure was somewhere deep in Compton,
right behind a Roscoe Chicken waffle,
underneath a Sbarro.
It's essentially what they did.
So now we are in modern times.
Modern times,
and
right?
In the 90s, we see the peak of the yo classic Somali pirates.
Right. They're doing the same thing that they did back then.
Yeah, but now they got FUBU shirts.
And motorboats.
Back then, they were wearing the FUBU of their time. They were all wearing the nicest cloaks and everything like that.
That's right.
It was in vogue.
Because everything that we see is a fraud because of the.
Right, they were wearing the wigs. They were wearing everything. Wigs were the thing back then. So they were wearing wigs when they could.
Yeah.
They robbed a lot of very wealthy people. So yeah, they took their clothes. They were wearing designer clothes too back then. They made sure the pirates always had the fastest ships, just like the speedboats. There's not a lot of difference between them.
Have you seen Captain Phillips?
I have.
Have you seen how weird Tom Hanks' nipples are?
I never noticed.
Watch. Have you seen
it? I wasn't looking.
Yo, dude, that dude got some Candlewick nipples at the end of that movie. It's like somebody told me, and I watched the movie,
right?
And they go, "I watch it again and keep an eye on Tom Hanks' nipples." Yo, dude, that dude got some, it's creepy.
Right.
How long?
It looks like one of those snakes that you light on fire and it just comes.
Now every time I watch that movie, I
only see his nipples.
Yeah. That's right. Captain Nipples.
Right.
Was Captain Hook real?
Captain Hook is not real.
Okay.
Captain Hook is not real.
Peter Pan?
He's okay though. So let's talk Blackbeard though, if you want.
Go Blackbeard.
Everyone's most famous pirate. Like that. How long do you think he lasted as a pirate?
You told me the average year is 2 to 5.
Right.
So I'm gonna say Blackbeard. If I go with the formula you've given me,
uh-huh.
One guy runs a plank.
Right.
One guy buries a treasure.
Right. One guy does.
I'm gonna say this guy lasted 6 months.
2 years.
2 years.
Oh. 2 years. Okay. Blackbeard.
Low end of the average.
The great Blackbeard. He was a very successful privateer. As long as he had that letter of mark for England.
Okay.
He had his boat called the Queen Anne's Revenge because he fought in Queen Anne's War.
Okay.
But then afterwards he got a little restless. He didn't like the retired life, and he started attacking the Carolinas.
Okay.
Now, here is your stage magician of his time, if you will. His real name is Edward Teach. His real name is not Blackbeard, obviously.
Okay.
But he creates, of course, the whole persona of Blackbeard, a pirate, a demon from hell who had made a deal with the devil. So what he does is, in order to make this more so, he's got, of course, his big old beard, and he's dreaded up and everything like that. And he puts fuses in the beard and fuses up in his hat and lights the fuses so that when people see him, he's covered in smoke and everything as though he's come from hell and everything. And he smells like sulfur and everything like that.
And that was just a marketing decision.
Exactly. That was what he was going to do.
That's pretty awesome.
Yo, that guy knew branding. That guy knew branding.
Yeah. And that's what he would do. And he would the legend was that he would mix some gunpowder with his rum so he could breathe fire and things like that to really make people just so terrified of him.
Yo, he would have had the best Instagram account of all the pirates.
Yeah. No,
how old was he?
During
the 17.
He's right?
Yeah, how old are these
probably
pirates?
In his late 20s, early 30s.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, most of these guys aren't living that long.
Yeah.
Your 20s and 30s is most of your pirates. No one lives. No one's going to be Jeffrey Rush age as a pirate. No, Captain Barbossa, just age alone does not make the cut.
The Black Pearl's not real?
No, that's real. No.
What about Davy Crockett Locker?
Davy Jones.
Davy Crockett.
David
Crockett.
That's the Alamo. Cap. We'll talk about the Alamo. Right.
No. Davy Jones Locker. What is that?
Listen, I actually forget what Davy Jones Locker is about there.
Daydream Believer.
That's what I always thought it was. And I'm trying to remember. I think it was an episode of Columbo that they talked about. They gave what Davy Jones' locker was. And I don't think it was real. There is no... That was another story.
Yeah, there is no actual Davy Jones. I know know that much. I just
I know
don't
they didn't have
the
a locker kind of thing.
What sent you sent you to the bottom. What did they say? You sent you to the bottom to Davy Jones's locker.
Right.
Oh, I want to Google this now.
So yeah. So that, you know, but Blackbeard's the one who we base off a lot of our pirates because he left on, he such a great impression.
Yeah.
And that's, he's kind of the persona of what we imagine pirate captains and everything like that. And most of them were speaking that pirate talk, but that pirate talk was essentially, most of them were poor Scottish and Irish and poor English sailors and stuff. And that was just their bad English. That was just them not really being able to talk. Wasn't there speaking properly?
Hello,
yeah.
Governor.
Right, exactly. It was the yeah, it was just like the regional slang you would get anywhere where people you're just like, are you speaking English, dude? It was the same thing there, but we've made it pretty and wanted to, oh, this is what pirates said because they were pirates. And it was just they just didn't know how to speak English.
Now I know you gave me a region.
Sure.
Where there's pirates. Let me ask you this. Just Australians.
Okay.
Pirates?
I mean, not so much.
What about the Japanese?
Not the Japanese.
Chinese?
Chinese.
Shut up.
Largest man. Fleet in pirate history came from China.
Really?
19th century, led by a woman. Lady Cheng. It was, she had at least 180 boats under her command at their height.
Whoa. Dang.
Yeah.
And where did she go? Like,
Eventually, the whole market kind of fell apart. Because again, these were
the pirate bubble
boats,
burst.
But they weren't 100. Yeah, it wasn't 180 war boats or anything like that. But it was
she
still
opened
very,
a chain of laundromats. Right?
But then, when the British and the French start coming in to mess with China, they started blowing the pirates out of the water too.
Was there any female pirates
besides Lady Cheng?
Besides Lady Cheng and Anne Bonny and Mary Read, a few little exceptions here and there, but for the most part, it was a male dominated.
Was there a country that you're like, why they had a pirate?
And
kind of like throws you up
like Luxembourg had a pirate.
I mean, yeah, there were some, that'd be hard. There were plenty of Dutch
pirates. You have one.
German pirates. Were there a lot of German pirates?
Not too many. There was a few Dutch pirates, a few German pirates, yeah, here and there. Mm-hmm. A couple of Indian pirates.
I was about to say, how about Native American or Indigenous pirates?
Not so much Native American pirates, because most Native American cultures didn't even have naval capabilities.
Yeah, they stayed on land. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the ship showed up, they're like, what are these things?
Right. But of most part, you know, Irish, Scottish, English, wow, French, Spanish, Portuguese. Mm. Portuguese pirates dominated India.
Oh, yeah.
Norwegian with the Vikings.
Yeah, a few Swedish and Dutch there.
Did the Vikings ever come across any, pirates,
yeah,
kind of thing?
Not so much. Piracy wasn't too big in Europe where they were at that time, which is the 800s, because okay, there were no large navies up there.
There's a time frame, and I wish, and we got to talk about it somehow.
Sure.
When swords and shields,
uh-huh,
it's coming towards its end, and gunpowder is introduced, kind of thing. And people just want to stay old school with the.
Oh God, like, there's like plenty the of examples. I will give you. I have a list of examples of guys who didn't switch over and the actual switch over and the. Yeah, we could do a whole show on.
Yeah,
that.
It always intrigued me.
Absolutely,
sure. Like the cowboys with the six shooter. He's like, this guy got an Uzi.
We'll totally can do
what
that.
What were some of the other weapons, though? Then it wasn't just swords or cannons. What else? Like,
for the pirates themselves?
Yeah.
They had
bombs.
They had grenades. Bombs. Yeah, they had early
grenades.
Well, kind of, you know, the old cartoony bombs. Uh-huh. Yeah, they had those.
Cannonballs?
Cannonballs, of course. They had cutlasses, rifles, daggers, pistols. Yeah. And you kept multiple pistols because, again, you shot one and... You know, you couldn't be in the middle of a battle. Can be like, hey, hold on, and then load it.
You shove the ball.
Shot it, dropped it, and then you went at them with the sword.
Because it's one. You load it once, and
exactly. Yeah, yeah. So you usually had about four or five pistols on you, and the best you could do there. And they had, and the youngest member was what they called the powder monkey. His job was
the
exactly
powder monkey.
Powder monkey. It was the youngest pirate's job to keep all the cannons loaded and watch over the gunpowder and make sure it didn't blow up.
Wow.
Yep. And they lost a lot of powder monkeys over the years. A lot of powder monkeys blew up over the years.
Wow.
Yeah. So
who's the most famous powder monkey?
That we don't know. We don't know.
Are you familiar with the puzzle rings that the pirates used to? Have you heard about these?
The puzzle rings.
Puzzle rings. These, they're these rings. I was in Key West.
Okay.
And this old street performing cat. No, no, he was showing it to me as a gift that he said a pirate gave to him. Mm-hmm. He was a street performer down there, and this ring, when you look at it, it was this beautifully intricate, you know, all tangled up and around. It looked amazing. And as soon as you took it off, it would just fall into itself, into all these hundreds of pieces that were just impossible to put back together. So he said back in the day, one of the kings, would, when he had multiple wives, he would put these rings on his wives, because when he would leave, if the woman was, you know, screwing around, if they took the ring off, they would never be able to put this puzzle ring back together. So now, when the king came back, he realized she cheated, and then he would cut off her head.
Off with her head.
But yeah, these puzzle rings were known. Pirates would steal these and kind of use it, so I wasn't sure if you...
I had not heard of that, no. Yeah. I had not heard of the puzzle ring, no.
Yeah, that's
that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like something a magician would be into.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
that's
pretty cool. You meet a lot, you know, as a magician, you meet a lot of really cool people, and you hear these crazy stories because everyone kind of wants to tell you something maybe magical that happened to them.
I wonder if just one pirate did that.
And then it just
took them, just like that with the plank.
Probably just the one pirate.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
That's what it was, yeah. And then here's a little flashback about how pirates affected American history.
Oh, okay.
Because we talked about Blackbeard in the Carolinas, right? And he wasn't the only one. The early colonies were a great target for pirates because they didn't have a navy. And eventually, the colonists complained to the British, "Hey, man, you gotta do something about these pirate attacks." Yeah. And so the British navy, like I said, got bigger and bigger, but you gotta pay taxes if you want that protection. And so they started raising the taxes on everybody to pay for this navy.
And then these
is the first time. This is the first incident. And then the colonists started to resent these taxes that they were paying, even though it was for their protection in the first place.
It's the mafia. It's kind of at the beginning. It's the start. Yeah. Well, protect you, but you got to give me a little something.
Hey, there's a lot of pirates that come around these coasts.
It was, you know, from
the fired insurance. Get over here.
From the mind of a British citizen living in England, it was only fair. They're not attacking England. They're attacking America. You want the protection. You pay for the taxes for the protection. That's what and that's where we get this kind of animosity is going to start.
So the Tea Party started because they didn't want to pay any more for the pirate protection.
It was one of the taxes that they were against. Yes.
Really?
Yes. They didn't like the fact that they were paying more, and they weren't asked. They didn't have representation. Okay. That's what their problem. They didn't have representation in Parliament to say whether or not they wanted this. And the British Parliament was saying, well, do you want the pirates? Yes or no. Make a decision here. You know. So that was.
So how far north would a pirate go up to? All the way up north?
Virginia.
All up to the Virginia. Virginia.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you had a bunch in the Chesapeake Bay area, Virginia, Maryland. Not up to the New England and New Yorker areas, but the New Yorkers and New England, they were part of the slave trade, so they had to get down to Africa. Obviously, they wanted their investments protected. Wow. So, but yeah, if you were a slave ship. If you were lucky, a pirate ship attacked, then you got to be a pirate instead of a slave.
Huh. If you passed the interview.
If you passed the test, and if the pirates weren't hard up for cash.
Yeah.
Because if not, you would just be sold again.
What country would they sell it to mostly? Sell it back to Africa?
No, they go to Brazil and the Caribbean and sell it like they were
Brazil?
Supposed to. Oh, Brazil had one of the biggest slave populations.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And they were the last ones in the Western Hemisphere to end slavery.
When they did 1986, and after Pelé,
Reagan was tired.
Yeah.
Wow, that's wild, dude.
So it's a tie to American history. It's because of the pirates we're starting to make our way towards independence.
See how this all comes together, and this is the beauty of it. What do we always say, Chris? He does this with no notes.
Just sitting there.
Yeah.
Just sits there and just.
You see that? There, did you see that?
Was this? Did you stop? Did you? Is this just in your head?
Most of the time, yeah.
That's the magic trick, buddy. Yeah. That's
a miracle, not a magic trick. That's great, man.
And the best part, and we always laugh at this part, is when he corrects himself. He goes, 1643. No, hold up. 1642. Like, he corrects to the
That's a person you can trust. I'll tell you. Anyone that actually will do that, because most people will just say, oh, this is what it is. But the fact that if,
no, I'll admit when
if
I make
you know,
a mistake,
when you don't know it, that's great. Mm-hmm. And I guess, like, when did, why pirates? Like, I know each episode is different, but why was pirate something that you figured you wanted to be able to discuss?
Oh, we need topics.
Yeah, we need topics.
Oh, because we do. I kind of switch off between a serious one and more of a fun trivia one.
Gotcha.
From week to week.
Is this like a drinking game where every time we say pirate, someone has to drink too? Because people would be wasted by now.
We don't. Mostly because a lot of high school kids listen to it.
Oh, okay.
But they're learning how to drink now. Be responsible. Don't be like Captain Morgan.
Right.
Take an Uber.
Take an Uber. Make sure there's a driver in that Uber, otherwise it's going to run over somebody. I didn't know these things were out there.
There's so many different things about the pirates world out there. Right? Mm. And there's a bunch of little trivia, too, out there. If you ever want to brush up on pirate history, a good one that's just kind of not so boring, David Cordingley's book, Under the Black Flag. He's a British naval historian. It's a great starter if you're interested in pirate history.
Is there a pirate museum anywhere?
Oh, you name it. The best place for all your pirate needs, if you're in Florida, go down to the Keys.
To the Keys?
That's the best place. If you are in the Carolinas, though, no place better than, where is it? Amelia Island, I believe? Amelia Island.
Okay.
That's the big old Blackbeard Museum and everything like that.
Oh, word. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because that's the
Is that North or South Carolina?
North Carolina. Okay. No, that's why they got the East Carolina Pirates.
Okay.
That they're named after Blackbeard and all that stuff.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They do have a little...
Uh-huh. East Carolina, that was his region.
Jeez. Mm-hmm. I want to go to Cocoa Beach right now and start digging in the sand for gold.
Mostly the Keys and off of Mexico is where you're going to find most of that gold. Yeah, the Caribbean.
Is that now, if you do find gold, is that something that you have to turn in?
There's some kind of salvager's law that protects you, that you can bring in a good haul.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. I don't remember the law exactly, but
the James Cameron law.
Right. Basically, if you can pull it up, it's yours, type of thing. Because it's been gone for not like the Spanish government's going to ask for the doubloons back, So
this might be crazy. I always pictured, like, in order to look at a ship, you should just build like a giant tube around the ship, set it down, drain all the water out, so then you can go to the bottom and look it around. I've always had that vision of, like, if you really wanted to see like the Titanic, just build a giant circle all the way down, drain it out, and then you've got your own. But I think it'll disintegrate too the second it hits air. So maybe
with the pressure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Bad idea. Yeah. Right, it was a dream.
It's a good dream. Fancy. Everyone wants to get down there. It's just so scary down there. Like,
it's
we all want to
terrifying.
See it.
Terrifying.
I loved all the camera footage that people show me. I'll never go down
there. I let James Cameron go deep. Yeah. Jamie.
Have you, when you're on a cruise, like in a cruise ship in the middle of the ocean
at night.
4 in the morning, and that is
it's intense.
I've never done a cruise. And it's kind of like, I just don't like the idea that I am not in control out in the middle of the water. I'm not steering the ship. Yeah. So I'm just like, I'm out of here nowhere. I'm like,
dude,
I've never been on a cruise just because I haven't gotten over that fear yet.
I have a fear of going out in a boat with buddies and just go fishing.
Yeah.
In the middle, because I've heard of these football players that the boat capsizes.
Right.
And I don't know, unless I'm in a boat with a guy named Captain something.
Right.
And he's an actual captain, not like Captain
General
whatever,
Navy Captain
that runs a comedy club in Fort Myers.
Captain Ron.
Yeah. It's like, I want an actual, like, I want to see your letter marquee. Let me see this.
You get some stripes on your shirt.
Something
there.
But what's that movie? Open Water? Is it Open
Water? Open
Water. Oh, that's terrifying.
It's because it's the most ultimate unknown. Mm-hmm. As soon as you go underwater, you've lost all control.
Man.
You've
space. Lost all it's Earth space.
With fish.
We just
do you think in our lifetime we'll see? Because they got scanners. They got everything now. I mean, something's got to be crawling along
the
bottom of the
ocean
right now.
You think there's a kraken down there?
There has to be some giant squids.
Right.
Yeah, there are giant squids that they can't come too high, because then the lack of pressure, they explode because they're they're meant to be like down there where it's super pressurized, you know, so that's why we don't see a lot of those big beasts.
There is a fish that looks like Don Rickles somewhere in the ocean.
Could be. Just walking around insulting other insulting crawfishes and stuff like that. So all right, let's get ready. Let's put the wheels down.
The list.
I got no background music?
No, I lost internet.
Oh, sorry, we didn't talk about gypsies anyway.
Oh yeah, can we tap a little bit about gypsies? Just a preview for next episode.
Sure, kind of yeah, I mean, sure, if you want to talk about
gypsies. Any are they like the pirates of the land?
I don't consider them the pirates of the land because gypsies are born into that lifestyle, whereas pirates kind of choose and go into that lifestyle. Yeah, you know, you're not born a pirate, but you're born a gypsy.
Mm-hmm. But somebody had to choose to be a gypsy.
Eventually, yeah, somewhere down the line, sure.
This is a good preview.
Yeah. Let's
talk about if your name was Gypsy, but you weren't a gypsy?
Gypsy
then you turned
Rose.
To a gypsy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Getting deep.
Has anybody tried to be a gypsy?
I'm not sure how it works.
Are there any historical gypsies?
I mean,
other than the lady that cursed that guy in Thinner,
right? I don't know about historical
Thinner.
I don't know.
I'm eating all I can. Hi, everybody. All right, let's put these wheels down. It's another beautiful episode of Devils in the Details. Thank you so much for joining us. And as we depart, we always remind you to support our brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Of the PFT Media Network. All the beautiful shows that we have.
Uh-huh.
From Poking the Bear, What the Fuzz, Scotch and Good Conversation, Lady Reptastic, Orlando Opinions, Beer...
State of the Beer Union.
State of the
Beer...
Ah, thank you, man. See? Any show am I missing here?
Yeah.
The flagship.
my apologies, sir.
That was right.
The flagship of this bad boy. The reason that we're here.
Yes.
And that's Cinema Crush for me. So. The Man Crush.
Right.
Simon Time Trivia.
Scotch and Good Conversation, you said?
I did. I threw that one in there. Bring the scotch,
please. And tidbits. I think that's all.
Feel free to send us an email at devilsinthedetailsshow@gmail.com. Hit us up on Facebook at PFT Media. The show is always available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and wherever iTunes is sold.
Spotify.
We're also on Spotify. Yeah. Woo! Spotify in there. Now on Spotify. Share, also rate, and reviews on Apple Podcasts. Feel free to hit me up at Rican Gorilla on Twitter. Dan P. Comedy on Twitter.
All right.
Crespo Diso.
Crespo Diso on Twitter. And Darren, you don't...
Darren Rockwell is I think if you just Google it.
Google Darren Rockwell.
Yeah. Find him.
Movies and other stuff will pull up.
He's elusive. He's going back into his magic cave and disappear for another year and a half.
Well, this is worth coming out for.
No, dude. You guys are awesome. And we'll bring you out then when you're ready to release that documentary. I know that you're working on that editing stuff. And what you tell me is the radio days, and we love radio.
Yeah.
So we'll talk more about that when we bring you back up. Guys, thank you so much for joining us, and like always,
waiting on you, Beyonce.
Bitch.
Mm. Thank you. Good night. You've been terrific, really. We love you. Thank you for being so special tonight. And putting up with the rain. And putting up with us.
A PFT Media production.